Ms. Shirley and I are very pleased to be here today to talk about the power of care coordination, not only in helping consumers obtain services, but in influencing policy and affecting systems changes. Our presentation is based on work being done in two specialized call centers within the United Way of Connecticut's 211 system. This is a 30-year-old statewide free and confidential telephone access point for information on and referrals to services. Beginning in the late 1980s and through the 1990s, United Way of Connecticut did some internal restructuring and developed within the system specialized call centers. This was done in response to the growing fragmentation and complexity of the service delivery systems and a recognition that staff really needed to have substantive knowledge in specific areas and within certain service delivery systems. Connecticut is proud to offer one-stop shopping for the full range of health and human services available to its residents. Today, by dialing 211, anyone in the state can access the services that are on the screen. 211 Health and Human Services is our generic 24/7 place where people can call to get a range of support and information, including things around basic needs, food, housing, utility assistance. 211 Child Care is where people can call to get information on all the licensed daycare programs in the state. And Care for Kids is our access point for child subsidy programs. The two programs that we're talking about today are Child Development Info Line and Husky Info Line. And I'm going to give you a preview of coming attractions by providing an overview of our presentation, which will start with Alana Kober, who is a care coordinator at Husky Info Line. Husky Info Line helps families access Connecticut's Husky programs, which are Husky A is the Medicaid Managed Care Program in the state, and Husky B is Connecticut's State Child Health Insurance Program, also known as SCHIP. By using a case example, Alana is going to demonstrate how Husky Info Line is able to negotiate the Medicaid Managed Care System and advocate for families, and then how we take the data from those cases and use it to influence policy. After Alana, I'll do a brief background on Child Development Info Line and the role it played back in 2002 in responding to the growing crisis of children being expelled from child care programs because of behavioral issues. Shirley will then share a case in which she's able to help a mother who had a child who was at risk of being expelled. As she reviews that case, she will identify the four components of care coordination, and we'll end with how you can explore using a 211 type of resource in your state. So I will ask Alana to come up and share information about her case.
Thanks, Mary Jane. I work for Husky Info Line, which we are funded by the state to provide information and advocacy to callers on the Husky program, which, like Mary Jane explained, is the Connecticut State Insurance Program for children and families and encompasses both the Medicaid and SCHIP programs. Husky Care Coordinators provide callers with a number of services. We educate callers about the Husky program. We provide outreach to consumers and professional organizations. We mail applications and information to families. We advocate for families experiencing difficulties, and we follow up with clients to ensure that the needed services were received. What I want to do now is share an actual case of ours that highlights the work we do in our particular call center. This case involves a family that was referred to us last year from the Child Development Info Line. The mother had called about her 5-year-old son, who was significantly overweight and, as a result, had already developed a heart condition at such a young age. The Child Development Care Coordinator had done an assessment with the family and determined that the child would benefit from seeing a nutritionist. Because the child was already enrolled in the Husky Insurance Program, the case was referred to our unit for assistance in finding a nutritionist. The Husky Care Coordinator, who worked on the case, contacted the child's health plan and was able to locate 3 participating nutritionists in the state. Out of the 3, only one was accepting new patients. and was located quite some distance from the family's home. The Husky care coordinator contacted the nutritionist and was told that before she would see the child, she needed to obtain a referral from the child's primary care physician and prior authorization from the child's health plan. Our care coordinator was able to work with the PCP and the plan to obtain both of these prerequisites for the family. Once the appointment was made and the necessary authorizations in place, the care coordinator learned that the family had no way to get to the appointment, which was about 40 miles away from the family's home. Our care coordinator let the mother know that transportation is a benefit that's covered by the health plan and called the plan with the client to arrange a ride. The plan representative told our care coordinator and the mother of the young child that he could not approve the transportation arrangements because it exceeded the plan's mileage limitations. Our care coordinator was thankfully able to escalate the case to the health plan's manager, who was able to make sure that the transportation was approved and scheduled since there was no participating nutritionist closer to the family's home. And in the end, the family did get to the appointment and were happy with the ongoing services they received. This case is a great example of the work we do in our call center, but it also speaks to a larger issue within the Husky program. It's a longstanding issue, and it's that families enrolled in the program are having great difficulty finding medical providers and scheduling appointments. And the situation is not helped by the fact that the managed care plans are not assisting their members as they should be in locating participating doctors. Because we, over the years, have developed good relationships with our partners and our funders, we have vehicles by which to share the data we've collected on issues like this one. And recently, we were asked to present our data on how many Husky members have had trouble scheduling appointments before the state legislature. Our data ended up supporting another larger secret shopper type report that was commissioned earlier in the year on the same topic by the state agency that administers the Husky program. So our report really drove home the reality that the problem still exists for enrollees. And our presentation in combination with the secret shopper report resulted in an actual policy change, which is a clear and positive step forward. The state agency that administers the Husky program ended up issuing new regulations that will give clients easier access to an appeal when they have been denied assistance in scheduling a doctor's appointment. This is a big success for us and our clients, and we're thrilled that our data has affected a policy change that will help families better access healthcare services. In the folders in the back, we've included a copy of the presentation we made to the state legislature, as well as a copy of the new state regulations, and the shaded sections on the last page of the regulations summarize the key changes. So now I will hand it over to Mary Jane.
We're going to move on to Child Development Info Line, which serves as an access point for a number of programs and systems that assist children and families who are dealing with developmental issues or behavioral health concerns. In 2002, the growing problem of children being expelled from child care was becoming not only a national issue, but a major source of concern for child care providers in our state. The child care providers were very articulate in working with our state legislators on their need for on-site consultation with a goal of supporting social and emotional development of children. As providers were mobilizing around this issue, Child Development Info Line was actually hearing about this problem from the perspective of the families. Based on the calls from parents, we wanted to make sure that the family's issues were also identified and recognized as we were dealing with how to resolve this problem. As a result, we did a survey of families who called Child Development Info Line and then were referred into the state's early intervention program. And the results were that 28% of the families surveyed did acknowledge that they had trouble either finding child care or keeping their children in child care. And more importantly, that when they had that problem, they really wanted to be able to get some help to resolve it as well. The results of our survey was shared with legislators, and I'm very happy to say that the results of all the work done on this was the establishment of a program called the Early Childhood Consultation Partnership. And with your permission, I'd like to refer to it as the ECCP, otherwise we won't finish in time. because Shirley's going to mention it a couple of times as well. The fact that this program exists, and not only can referrals be made from child care providers, but families can also make referrals to the program. Shirley's now going to give a recent case that because of the ECCP, it has a happy ending. And as she reviews the case, she will identify what the four components are of care coordination. So I'm going to ask Shirley to come up.
I work at Child Development Info Line, where we help families with children who are at risk or experiencing developmental delays or behavioral health issues to find appropriate services. As care coordinators, we provide assessment of needs and referrals to these services. We educate families on development, behavior management, and programs available. We also offer ongoing developmental monitoring, and we offer to advocate for families as needed and offer to follow up with all families that we work with. The four components of telephone care coordination are assessment, education, referral, advocacy, and follow-up. I'm going to share a case that reflects these components. As the care coordinator, I had a parent call Child Development Info Line because she was referred by her pediatrician due to behavioral concerns. During the assessment phase of the interview, I learned the following. The mother had a 4-year-old son who was exhibiting behavior problems at the daycare center. He was running out of the room, biting, kicking, and hitting others. He was difficult to manage. Things were getting worse, and the previous week, the mother was asked to pick the child up from the center due to his behavior. The mother called the school system in the town in which she resides to request an evaluation. She was told that they would contact her with a date, and he was placed on a waiting list. The mother did not want to wait much longer. She couldn't continue to pick up her child from daycare early. It was causing problems with her employer, and so she wanted to know if there was any other program that would help sooner. She was afraid that he would be expelled from the center. During the education phase, I informed mom that many challenging behaviors can be prevented by designing environments that support children's involvement in activities and routines. This was something that the child care center's educational consultant might be able to assist with. I asked her if the center had consulted with that individual. Mom was not sure. She had never heard of that. I asked her if the center had discussed with her what strategies they had tried with the child and if they had documentation of the behaviors and incidents. Again, mom was not sure but would ask. I then offered to mail out materials regarding the specific behaviors as well as information about general behavior management strategies in addition to materials regarding the referral process and special education rights and laws. I wanted her to be as educated as she could be for when she needed to go to the school system and request that evaluation. The parent was interested, so we sent out those materials. During the referral phase, I discussed the Early Childhood Consultation Partnership Program and explained that it provides free technical assistance to child care and education staff on issues relating to the emotional and behavioral well-being of children, families, and staff. The program provides formal and informal mental health consultations for children birth to 5 with challenging behaviors and or social and emotional needs. Consultations include the assessment of the child in an early child care or education setting, providing therapeutic and individualized plans to assist providers and parents with early intervention strategies, guiding social and emotional developmental services, and increasing opportunities for continued inclusion in the early child care and education programming. The mother was interested in the program. I informed her that the child care center would have to give consent for the involvement of the program, and she would discuss it with the director. I obtained verbal permission from her to make a referral to the program and offered to follow up to ensure connection. I then called the contact for the person listed in the ECCP area that serves the parents' region and was informed that there was not a wait list and that they would contact her to begin the process. Upon follow-up with the parent 2 weeks later, I was informed that the ECCP program was working with the child. They had observed him in the daycare center and conducted a home visit earlier that week. They had to put their recommendations together and schedule a meeting with everyone involved. The mother was still waiting for the school system to schedule an observation of the child. and she was very happy that the ECCP program had become involved because the daycare center was no longer calling her to pick the child up early. She would call back if she needed additional assistance. I then closed the case with Child Development Info Line, but obviously it was still open with the ECCP program. And Mary Jane will conclude our presentation.
You might notice that we're very excited and passionate about the work that we do at these specialized call centers, not only in the cases, but in the data that we're able to collect, which is ultimately what we use to share for policy development and the provision of good services. Keeping our comments to 15 minutes was truly an exercise in restraint, and I do hope that through this presentation you are aware of what Help by Telephone service can do. And I would encourage you, if you're looking for data on an issue or a problem or a population, try to find your statewide information and referral service and or specialized call centers and talk to them about how they may be helpful to you. Also, there are packets and there's some additional information in it, including an article that has more information on the points that we covered today. Thank you very much.